Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk about Xbox news, rumors, and games we're playing. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show at questions@multiformpodcast.com. This is episode 211. I'm Tim Shelton, and I'm joined this week by Gus Harden.
Hello from my like creaky wooden chair. Like, won't be quiet.
We have a really old chair like that that we keep in, well, it used to be in our guest room. Now it's in my daughter's room. And you cannot sit on it or move without it going.
If my bedroom floor was like hardwood, then I would probably have a better chair than what I have right now. But this is like the chair that came with this desk. So it like fits perfectly in it. But because my floor is carpet, I can't really get a like rolling nice like office chair.
Yeah, they plus do make like plastic things you can put down on the carpet to like
yeah,
roll
but that's
a chair
like,
on.
That's a lot, it's like too much work. And that's yeah. like because the thing is like those things are like huge usually.
Well, they make ones that are like slightly bigger than the roller chair, so it just goes where the chair is. So I have a rug down, and I have two desks on opposing walls. One desk is like my home setup with my gaming PC that I built and my podcast stuff. And the one on the other side of the room, like if I turn around and roll across the room, it's not that far. It's like a few feet. Gus knows this. I'm describing it for the audience. I have my work desk for my day job. And the rug that I have down under the desk doesn't reach all the way to the other desk, even though it's huge, but, you know, long desks and across the room. So when I roll to the other desk, my chair is half on the carpet and half off. But then when I try and roll back the other way, the wheels get caught on the rug and pull the rug up.
Yeah.
And so then I get stuck and have to like lift my chair over it. It's super annoying. But I would have to buy a bigger
trying to avoid actively.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to buy a bigger rug, but the thing is this rug, it's a good rug. It's already here.
The only time
functional.
I sit at this desk is when I'm podcasting. So
you don't use that desk when you game on your PC?
Sometimes I will, but most of the times I'll bring it into my my living room and I'll sit on my couch.
Also, speaking of squeaking, like we were talking about the chair, so I got a new TV yesterday because I wanted to get a slightly bigger TV and I wanted to get an OLED that has all the features that work with the Xbox Series X, like variable refresh rate, 120 FPS, Dolby Vision, all that stuff. So I got the new TV and I boxed up the old one because the old one is going to go over to Spencer's new house because Spencer is getting closer and closer to move-in day. They're doing work on their house, which is why Spencer isn't here. And he's out, I think, doing something tonight. But I say all that to say, so my old TV is going over to Spencer's and it was a 55 inch and I wanted to upgrade to a 65 inch for my gaming TV. The stand on the newest LG OLED, the TV's light. And it's really thin, but the stand creaks when I like move it because it's kind of wobbly on the stand. Like, obviously, it's not going to move because it's just sitting in one place. But if you do have to move it, it's kind of wobbly.
You talking about TVs and like taking advantage of what a TV can offer in addition to your Xbox. I wonder what it would be like to use a Series X on like the oldest TV that comes with like an HDMI input. Like, I wonder what that would like look like. I wonder if it would even like matter that you even have a Series X at that point. Like, or if it would just look like you're playing on like an Xbox One or like a 360.
Well, you would still get a bunch of the Series X benefits, right? Because you would get fast load times.
Right.
And you would get better in-game fidelity. I think what would suck is the resolution. So it would just be blurrier, but all the graphical fidelity would still be in there.
Okay.
It would just be a lot blurrier.
I guess that makes sense.
Although, so like, you know how you can... Some games you can put in FPS mode and it'll like lower the resolution and
to 60.
Yeah. So like you can do that with Fallout 4 and it takes it to 1080p 60 FPS. So that takes the Series
Only
X
if you
all
don't
the way.
Have the mod.
Yeah, obviously. I want achievements. So I don't
use 60 FPS. That also gives me 4K.
But I say that to say that will get you down to 1080p. And in some games, it'll get down to like 900p. But I think there's games or there's TVs that only, you know, like you can get a flat screen TV that is a 720p TV. So that's probably
speaking
be the lowest
of,
quality that you could get
so you
and
know, like
still have a Series X work.
920p or whatever. I am still waiting for them to up-res Arkham Knight.
Yeah, I've given up hope at this point.
I don't think it's ever going to happen
at this point. Yeah, I don't think so either.
Sadly.
The only way it's going to happen is if they somehow do
Rockstar,
like a
Rocksteady
remaster bundle.
Yeah.
But
I don't want to buy any more remasters.
There's other games that make way more sense than that, though. Well, maybe not, but like, I'm surprised Fallout
that
game, 4...
That game's like 7 years old now, isn't it?
I know, but like, it's a big game because it's
like,
Batman.
It blows my mind. We haven't had a Rocksteady Batman game for 7 years.
Well,
I know they've
been
doing other stuff, but...
Eidos Montreal that's doing... Oh, no, they're not the ones doing it. WB Montreal is the ones making the Gotham Knight game that's about to come out. Their last game was Batman Arkham Origins, which came out in, what, 20... I'm going to look
like
it up.
11.
Batman. No. Was it really?
11. Like 11 through 13, one of those years.
2013. So
okay,
it will
cause,
be cause 9 years.
Was Arkham City.
It's going to be
Arkham
9 years
City
between games.
Yeah. Well, and then Rocksteady's doing Suicide Squad, which have we even heard anything more about that? Because they delayed it, didn't they?
Yeah, it's just delayed till next year. That's
and
all
then
we know.
And then we just haven't seen anything else since then.
That's all we know.
That was supposed to be
on.
A 2022 game, right?
Yeah, I think Man. At one point it might even have been a 21 game, but I never believed that because you weren't going to release that in Arkham Gotham Knight at the same time. They're literally
yeah.
both set.
Well, yeah,
in
oh yeah,
Batman
and we talked
universe.
About that a long time ago, but on the podcast on this cast about like that they wouldn't put their own games to compete against each other. But it's just yeah. like man, it's just like. That whole list of games that are like it's like a tombstone for like all of the games in 2022 gaming 2022 yeah. 2022 and then it's like list them all off and these are all dead games until next year.
I'm more excited about Suicide Squad than I am or Kill the Suicide Squad than I am the Gotham Knights.
Yeah,
but Gotham Knights.
At this point, I have no interest in Gotham Knights anymore, if I'm being 100% honest. I mean, I was
well,
like,
we're
going to
talk about
it
in the news, so why don't we just hold that till we get there?
Okay, sounds good.
What else was I going to say? Okay. Before we get into what we've been playing this week, I want to talk about Saints Row. So we've been hot and cold on Saints Row based on previews, depending on over the last 2 years, if you go back anytime we talked about it. Lately, Spencer and I were pretty high on it going into release because there's been nothing else to come out recently. And Spencer is a big Saints Row fan. I would call myself just an average fan. I've only beaten one of the four games, or depending on how you look at it, four and a half games, whatever. So the release date has come and gone, and Spencer and I have not played it. I didn't buy it yet. And the reviews were pretty savage. It's Metacritic score, or let's go OpenCritic because that one seems to be slightly more reliable. It currently is sitting at a 66 on OpenCritic, and Metacritic has it at 63. So that's pretty gruesome. The biggest thing, though, basically people knocked it for a lot of bugs, like hysterical amount of bugs, like Cyberpunk day one. Worse than that, it looks like from the previews or reviews. And then some people knocked it for the gameplay feeling repetitive and old, like it's a 360 game. I did see they tweeted out that they're working on several patches for the future to fix bugs, but it does seem like this is going to go down in the letdown category. Not as big as their last game, whatever the name of that thing I always forget is, that was set in Korea, that totally bombed, didn't even sell a million copies. But it's disappointing. So I think where I sit with this now, and I think Spencer, I'll speak for him a little bit, is I want to wait for them to patch it quite a bit before I jump in. And by then it'll probably be cheaper. And since I'm in the throes of playing several big games, which we'll talk about in a minute, I'm just holding off because it sounds like the day one experience was not great.
It seems like people are saying, because I've been seeing videos of like people who have been enjoying it, and like there is like a lot of like funny stuff that like goes into it, of course, because there's a Saints Row game. But people are saying it's like it's more populated than GTA, which I would hope, because that game is 9 years old and this game just came out. So I would hope it's more populated, which I feel like is like the fact that people are still comparing this game to GTA. It's like one that speaks to GTA. And then two, that's just like it's like apples and oranges anymore, because those games are a decade apart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I mean, although yes, they fit technically into the same category, I really don't think you can put the newest Saints Row up against GTA 5 and call that like a fair fight, because one, it's like you have like the more like realistic looking, like it's a parody of real life, and then you have Saints Row, which is like basically it's like more than a parody. It's like a comedy of real life.
Yeah, basically. It's like a cartoon of real life.
Yeah, it's like a cartoon version of like how dumb life can be. But
also, you're probably talking like about the difference of I don't know what Saints Row budget was, but let's say it was probably in the ballpark of 100 million versus Grand Theft Auto typically gets 500 million just for the launch version. And then they spend millions of dollars in post-launch GTA Online support.
Again, though, it's like the games are 10 years apart. I mean, you can't really compare them because obviously this game's going to look better even with $100 million budget in 2021 and 20 during this development lifecycle versus 2011, 2012, 2010, that GTA 5 was in development for like their $500 million because the technology has improved so much in the last decade. And so I thought it was kind of foolish for people to be like doing that. But yeah, I did see in my, what you guys were talking about, that there's bugs and that it just didn't really seem to blow a whole lot of people. I mean, the thing is like, I've kind of stopped listening to critics, not only video games, but like in general, like critics of TV shows, of movies, because critics are like such like a bad indicator, because as much as you would hope that they don't, I've said this before, people like critics definitely get like bought out at some point to like say either good things or maybe even to say negative things. I don't know. But I mean,
I don't believe they get bought out, bias. But I think they can be biased. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody has their own little bias, which I mean, money can buy a bias. But I mean, so it's like with that, it's like, plus everybody in the industry kind of thinks the same, in my opinion. Sorry. I'll just say it. Like, I think they all kind of think very similarly because they all have like the same business model. So it's like naturally people are going to think kind of similarly when they're putting out their reviews. And it's like you would hope that they're different because each one's an individual person. But I mean, the company, I mean, just how much does the company factor into it? Because you definitely have to think that the company tells people what they can and can't say because they have to run it by an editor. I'm sure a review like gets ran by somebody who's above them. It's like they type out the review, they send it in. They're like, oh, maybe you probably shouldn't say that because that's like too harsh. So they have to change wordage or verbiage. And so, like, I definitely feel like that happens.
Yeah.
Feel free to disagree. But
well, I don't think critics.
Maybe it's not as widespread as what I think it is, but I do think that it definitely happens and it does factor in.
So you said I can agree or disagree, and I'm going to do both because I'm going to say I don't agree that critics get paid to give scores because they frequently don't, and games get savaged like Cyberpunk and Saints Row. But also, there is a somewhat of a groupthink / implicit bias where some stuff gets trounced. And well, in the case of Saints Row, from looking at both users playing the game and reviewers, again, being fair, I haven't played this game yet, and I've been busy with other stuff. We'll get to that in a minute. But it does seem like there's fun to be had. Like, I think I would enjoy the game. And I would find the bugs funny, but also like critics just look at things from like a way too serious point of view. Whereas sometimes a bad action movie is still good and entertaining. You know, a popcorn action movie with a terrible plot can be entertaining. Facts, and having like a hilarious sandbox that like Saints Row, even with the bugs, can be hilarious.
Yeah, that's part of what makes it funny, though.
I do think it does look like it's worse than previous Saints Rows. Even like I was so high on Saints Row 3 Remastered. That was done by a different studio.
Yeah.
But it looks worse than that. And that's
Saints Row 3 is like a special place in my heart because that's what Spencer and I played like in high school. And that's what we remember playing the most, I feel like, because I mean, he might say Saints Row 2. I don't know how much Saints Row 2 you played, but for me, it's 3. Because 3 is the only one I really truly paid. Just because that was the only one I ever owned and bought. And I really very much enjoyed it. I loved how over the top it was. Because that's the thing about GTA. GTA is not like over the top. It is in some points, but like Saints Row is like hilariously over the top, like every single mission.
Yeah, it's not like beat someone to death with a sex toy.
Yeah, beat someone with the dildo baseball bat. What do they call it? The penetrator?
Yeah, although sometimes that also reminds me of like the ridiculousness of like Sunset Overdrive, where you could put like records into a record shooter. That wasn't inappropriate, but it was also like wacky, zany kind of stuff.
Crazy games, and I hope we talk about this at least maybe in like the quick hits or something, or I guess probably during our Gamescom thing talking about High on Life.
I didn't put it in the Gamescom stuff, so
because I'm actually am excited to talk about that because that game looks fun.
Well, we'll talk about it when we get there then, because let's talk about what we've been playing. Well, it doesn't look like you've been playing much of anything new. It looks like the usual suspects.
Yeah, Smite. I was playing that tonight, and I played Hearts of Iron 4, which is not, it's like not new, but it's like new, like that I've been playing it again recently. And then Black Ops Cold War Zombies. I finally maxed out and got all the camos for the Magnum so I can stop using that heinous piece of trash that it is. It's literally only good for headshots, and I hated it. I hated having to spend all these hours doing that with that to get that, because I'm trying to get the unlock three gold camos, which is like the last camo challenge for pistols, so I can get the like plague diamond camo for my pistols, simply for the 1911, because I liked using the 1911 because it's the classic zombies gun.
I was about to ask why you were using a gun you hate to unlock a skin for a gun you hate.
Yeah, and then they had like the Dark Aether one, but that one is like get gold camo for all of the base weapons, including the knife. And so I don't really know how long that will take. The thing is, like, there are certain guns that are like worse than others to like have to like try to like plug through. Namely the Magnum, and then all three of the sniper rifles. And I'm not looking forward to those, but... And I don't even know why I'm even playing zombies on this one. I don't own Vanguard. But Kent, one of our friends, he put in the group chat today that they are releasing the final zombies, like, DLC. I think they've been releasing them free. Like, zombies add-on. And it's like, he's like, look what they did to my boy. Cause it's like the Archon. And it's like a lich or whatever you call them. Like the death mages. And I'm like, dude, what is this game becoming? Cause even Black Ops Cold War is kind of like out there with like the story. Like, it's not like classic zombies, which it's like for him, he's like very nostalgic cause he doesn't play Xbox anymore. So it's like for him, it's like his idea of zombies extends as far as, Dereza from Black Ops 1. So, actually, no, I don't even know. It's not even Black Ops 1. That's World at War. That was the final DLC zombies thing for World at War. I'm pretty sure. But anyway.
Yeah. So, me this week, I played some Players Unknown's Battlegrounds PUBG with some friends. I got back into Destiny 2. I wouldn't say I'm falling hard back into it. Like, I'm not going to start doing raids again. I don't have enough time in a single gaming session to do a raid. But I did start catching up on the story because I didn't quite finish Beyond Light. Or I might have finished it, but I didn't finish some of the side content. And then the Witch Queen. But I got back into that because I was kind of hyped for Destiny 2 after the announcement of the new expansion, which we'll cover in the news here in a minute. So, just been playing some Destiny 2, but the big thing is still Fallout 4, which I thought I only had two story missions left, but what I didn't understand is that I had two story missions left until the faction split, where you have to make a decision on which faction you're going to side with, and then they have a series of quests. So once you make that call, depending on which one, you have a lot of content to do. So I chose the Brotherhood of Steel, and I'm like, I don't know, six or eight missions down after that split. And I just found out what happened to my son in Fallout 4, which is, you know, the whole plot is around chasing down, trying to find your lost son that you lost when you got put in the vault or cryo freeze or whatever the heck it is. I forget. I started the game so long ago. But man, Fallout 4 is really scratching an itch this last 3 weeks. And I hope to stay with it for quite a while, especially since Saints Row I'm going to hold off on for a little bit. But it's funny because I keep talking about it so much that you and Spencer wanted to play it, but then Spencer couldn't get his save to work. So he's like, well, guess I'm never playing Fallout again. And you're over there with your crazy modded Fallout 4 that's basically Call of Duty Modern Warfare in Fallout 4 with unlimited nukes and unlimited fusion cores and all that crazy stuff. Yeah, so Fallout 4. Playing a ton of that. So I think Fallout 4 and maybe Destiny 2 are going to be my big things for the next few weeks anyway. Okay, well, let's move into some news. So this week was Gamescom 2022. So that is the, if you don't know, the big show in Germany that has a few press days and then it's open to the public. It's the biggest video game convention in the world, I believe. It's much larger than E3 because E3 is an industry-only event. It's at, I don't know if it's the largest convention center in the United, in the world, or if it's just the largest in Europe or what, but I've never actually been to Gamescom. In any case, the last few years, Jeff Keighley has been doing a show on the first day to kick off Gamescom. He calls it Opening Night Live. It's almost like an extension of the Game Awards. He uses the Game Awards Twitch and YouTube channels to stream it, blah, blah, blah. A lot of, well, not a lot, but usually there's a handful of announcements at the show and then some updates on existing games. Now, this year, I didn't watch the whole show because it's in Germany. It was during business hours and I was doing my day job. But I did go back and watch the trailers for a bunch of these games and then read about them and pulled out the ones that I thought would be interesting for myself or for you or for Spencer. So the first thing that caught my eye, and Gus, I'm going to try and go through some of these kind of quickly. So you call out if you have something you want to add on one of these. Otherwise, we'll just keep it moving. Dune Awakening. So this is another Dune game after that one was announced that was a strategy game. This one's an MMORPG. It's coming from the developer Funcom, and they were the developer of Conan Exiles. The CGI trailer looked cool, but Conan Exiles didn't look like it was for me, and Funcom doesn't really have a great pedigree, and I really don't like MMOs. So that one, it looked interesting at first, but I think probably not going to be something up my aisle, but it was notable. Then there was Moving Out 2, which I've always wanted to check out Moving Out 1, but I still haven't gotten around to it. I think it's on Game Pass, so that's coming in 2023. Here's another one we've talked about on the show a lot, Gus. Hogwarts Legacy coming February 10th. I'm not sure if we had a release date since it was delayed, so now we do, and it's February 10th. I forget. I know Spencer was interested in this. Are you interested in Hogwarts Legacy?
Wasn't it set in like 1950s Hogwarts?
Yeah, I think it's long before Harry.
Yeah, because I remember seeing this thing where it was like, you're telling me that the entirety of the Harry Potter series takes place in the 90s and there's not a singular mention of Michael Jordan anywhere in the run that the Bulls were having in the 90s, which I thought was funny. So it's like, I don't know. Harry Potter stuff is like, I've seen all the movies, I've read all the books, but that's been a long time ago. Like, that's been almost a decade ago now for me. The last one of those movies came out in what, 2014 earlier?
Why would they mention Michael Jordan in Scotland? Hogwarts is in Scotland. Michael Jordan
was a worldwide phenomenon.
I know, but in Scotland? I don't know.
I don't know either. But I just thought that was funny that was like a thing, because it's like, you're telling me not a singular mention of Michael Jordan.
Well,
said straight up nothing about the Muggle world. I mean, obviously that's not the whole point of it, but
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those games where it's like, if I truly, truly had nothing else to play, I would get it. But it's like, I have all these other games I should theoretically be playing, like Far Cry 6.
Yeah, I will say, as much as I wish there was new stuff, I have really liked this year to catch up on stuff that I missed over the last decade. Like, yeah. I know some of it is like obvious stuff or the stuff that I started and didn't finish, but it's been really good for me and my backlog. My backlog has never been shorter than it is right now.
Sounds about right.
So the next thing that was notable was New Tales from the Borderlands. We already talked about this last week because it leaked, and the leak was right. The release date is October 21st. So this is another one of those adventure games. So it's where you pick the dialogue options and then you explore a little bit. I don't know if it's on a new engine or if it's using the Telltale engine, because remember, the first one was by Telltale. I really liked the first one, but I gotta cut myself off. I'm not doing any more of these adventure games, because they're basically you just walk around and talk to characters for 6 hours.
Just doesn't interest me anymore. I did always like the art style in the game. I thought the art style was very, very cool. But the setting just doesn't really interest me anymore, like that kind of like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I bought Borderlands 3 when it came out, and as I do, I played half of it and just stopped. So I guess I'll probably go back to it at some point to finish the story. But Borderlands is one that never has quite clicked with me, because I own all four Borderlands games. In fact, I've gotten them. I bought all four of them, but I also own copies on PC that were given away to me or given as prizes for things. And I've never beaten any of them. And that's one series where I don't know that I don't have any intention to go back and beat the first three games. I would like to finish Borderlands 3, but I don't even know if I'll do that at this point. Probably, but maybe not. It did look good. I mean, it looked like I said, the first game was a lot of fun for an adventure game. I just have to cut myself off from that genre unless something truly special comes along. The next one, this one was teased for opening night live, Sonic Frontiers. There are also a bunch of leaks for this one. The release date was announced November 8th. This has bomb written on it all over to me. Like, everything we've seen about this game has shown it being quite questionable. They're spending a ton of money on the marketing campaign. It just feels to me like it's not headed in a great direction, and that they're not going to hold it back or anything, that it's just going to come out and just land with a thud. I don't know why I get that vibe. Besides some of the gameplay they've showed, I have no reason really to believe that. I guess something about how much they're spending on their marketing campaign just makes me feel like they're compensating for something. But again, I'm being irrational right now. I just have vibes that that's not going to be a great game. I also just don't see Sonic in the 3D space. I don't know if that's relevant anymore. I don't know if it's going to... And Sonic just doesn't have the cachet that he had 15 years ago. So we'll see. Okay, here's another one. This one I know is not probably for anybody on our show because we're not into this genre very much, but this new game, Lies of P, was announced. And supposedly, well, for, not supposedly, it's coming in 2023, and it's coming to Game Pass. But supposedly this game is a Souls-like, so it's like Dark Souls or Bloodborne. It's that type of game. But it's somehow inspired by Pinocchio. So the name of the game is Lies of P, and I wonder if that's because it's like Pinocchio, but they can't use Pinocchio because that's trademarked or something. But how weird is that, Gus, Spencer? I wanted to say Gus and Spencer, but Spencer's not here. A Pinocchio game that is like Dark Souls. How does that sound to you? It's like really gothic and dark. It sounds crazy to me. But it was like blowing it up. Like, everybody was talking about this at the show online.
I mean, I've always like... So like, I watched Supernatural, the TV show Supernatural, which had like a darker take on like some more like classically, I wouldn't say like cute characters, but like not like scary looking. And like, they had genies, like scary genies. And I'm like, this is not how I picture them from Aladdin type deal. So like, I could totally see like a weird, like creepy version of like Pinocchio and Geppetto and Jiminy Cricket. But
yeah,
I don't know.
You should. I just put the trailer in the chat. You should look at that and see what you think. It is just it's very weird, gothic. Like, I don't even know how to describe any more about it. I didn't see anything too special because it's like a CGI trailer. We didn't see any gameplay or anything. So I never want to get too hyped about CGI trailers because sometimes they look great and then the gameplay is just
that's very boring. Misleading.
Yeah, I mean, CGI trailers are great for like announcing and getting excited, but like, I can't say that this is a day one play or something like that when I don't know what the gameplay is.
Speaking of CGI stuff, so obviously you guys know Marvel Ultimate Alliance is one of my favorite games of all time, and they have CGI cutscenes in that game, and they honestly kind of hold up to today.
Wait, which game? Marvel Ultimate Alliance?
Yeah, but then you play, then you play the game, and you're like, what the heck? Like, it's like the CGI is like actually pretty good. Like, it's actually really good for a 2006 game.
I'm going to live check myself. So what I saw at Gamescom was the trailer, but I just Googled gameplay to see if there was Lies of P gameplay. And sure enough, I'm watching gameplay right now. And it definitely looks like Bloodborne / Dark Souls type gameplay. It's, you know, slash dodge, very kind of rigid movement. But it's set, you know, like in a gothic, like old timey, your pulse perished is what it says when you die. It even looks like a death screen from Dark Souls. Very interesting. Very dull Dark Souls. Who is making this game? Who is the developer? Lies of P developer. Being developed by Neowiz is the publisher, but who's the developer? Why? Oh, they're Neowiz Games. So they're the publisher and Round 8 Studio. Anyway, moving on. Okay, this is the one thing I saw opening night live that I thought was really cool. Gotham Knights had a new trailer. They moved the release date up. Speculation seems to be people think they're trying to avoid Call of Duty by moving it ahead of Call of Duty a little bit, but it's moved up to October 21st. I don't know what it was before. I think it was the 25th, 26th, 27th, something like that. So it moved up 4, 5, 6 days, something like that. The new trailer was a villains trailer, and it showed us Harley Quinn, Clayface, and Mr. Freeze. And I thought that looked really cool. And then some website had an exclusive gameplay of a boss fight with Harley Quinn with Nightwing that actually looked really good too. So I don't know. I get good vibes from some things about this game, and I get bad vibes about some things for this game. But I'm probably, unless it is absolute trash, I'm most likely going to play this because it's a comic book based game with characters that I enjoy. And even bad games about characters I enjoy, I usually can still eke some fun out. Hence why I own games like Superman 64 and why I wanted to play Superman
now
Returns.
Superman Returns, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it did not get great reviews, and there's some things about it that aren't great, but
have
it's
you played
still
any
Superman.
More of that?
I've done two sessions. So I played all the way through War World, and then I started doing stuff in the open world, and then I messed around with the cheat codes for a little bit to give like invulnerability to the city so that I could just like screw around. Yep. That's about the size of it. It's so funny to play like an open world game from that era where like all the buildings are all look the same. Every street is dead and devoid of any color or like doors or anything.
You can pick the Daily Planet globe up off the top of the building.
Oh, I did not know that. Yeah. I was picking up and throwing a lot of cars because I know there's an achievement for like throwing 200 cars or something like that. But yeah. So Gotham Knights, I really like that new trailer. It's cool. It's coming a few days earlier. Probably going to pick this one up regardless of the quality, like I said, because I like comic books and comic book games. I just wish they hadn't done a co-op like RPG. Like I would have been fine with a like Bat Family game as a spinoff to Arkham Origins. But, you know, Arkham Origins is kind of thought of as like the black sheep of the Arkham games because it wasn't done by Rocksteady, but I still enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. I mean, it was a little different in a few ways, but it was still cool. So the big closer for the show was Dead Island 2. So this is the game Back from the Dead that was announced like 7 years ago. And it shifted developers three different times.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought this game already came out because I thought I played it.
No, you played. So there was Dead Island, and then there was a re-release of it called Dead Island Riptide that added like more content in addition to the original game.
Oh, man, I don't even know if I played that. I could have sworn I played one that was called Dead Island 2, but I might have just been thinking of playing Dead Island. And then they had Escape Dead Island as well.
I don't know. I don't remember that one.
That was a 2014 release.
And then yeah, so totally new. Basically, it's gone three different developers, so it's a completely different game at this point. I doubt anything from the original game pitch is even in the game. And they got a release date, Dead Island 2, February 3rd, 2023. So, man, is Q1 getting packed full of games. A bunch of those will probably get delayed, so it's not overpacked, but people are going to be on top of each other all next year if more stuff doesn't get delayed from the current delays. Just a mess. And then since you brought it up, High on Life. I did not watch the trailer for this because I am one of those people, you know, humor is subjective, and I just don't really like Rick and Morty and Justin Roiland or whatever his name is. Roland. Is it Roland or Roiland? I forget. I'm not into his like kind of comedy. I will say the look of the game is cool. The whole your gun is talking to you thing to me seems super annoying, but I could see the appeal of it. I see why like some people would find it cool, but to me it's not that appealing. But because it's coming to Game Pass, I'm always willing to try stuff if it's available to me. So I'll probably check it out just to like see what it's about. What are you thinking?
To me, it was like I find Australians extremely funny. So the Australian knife talking was extremely hilarious, and I just like he's like I can do more. It's like I'm more than just a knife, you racist. I was like what, like where did this come from? And it sounds like every single weapon in the game is going to have like a personality, which I think is kind of interesting.
I wonder how many there are.
I
wonder how many guns there are in the game.
I don't know. I would assume probably like six or more. But I don't know. I mean, obviously the guy who is talking is like, or like the gun that you use, like the little pistol, is like very obviously Morty from Rick and Morty. I mean, it sounded just unlike him. I've never watched Rick and Morty personally, but from like I've seen so many like YouTubes and like it's like part of meme culture now. So it's like I've heard enough of Morty's voice to say like that sounds like Morty. So I don't know, but I mean the art style was kind of cool. I did think the guns looked stupid and the knife looked stupid, but them talking I thought was funny. I mean, comedy is fine. Comedy games are good. But I thought how it was like breaking the fourth wall and like almost like a parody of like of games than like gaming itself, which I always enjoy that because I enjoy games. Like, that's why I like The Boys so much, because it can make fun of itself more so than anything else, because that's something I like to do as a person, is make fun of myself. So
the knife's name is Knifey. You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, he's like,
You can dual wield too. See, I didn't watch obviously the
trailer using
at all.
Is like just using the F word, and hopefully they don't bleep it out in the actual game.
No, they won't. It's just for trailers to be available online.
E for everyone. But yeah, I'm excited for it because it sounds like it's gonna be day one Game Pass. So
it is. What's the release date?
December, I think.
Yep, December 13th. It just got delayed last week or this week. I can't remember when.
But man, almost another 2022 canned to 23 with that December release.
Yeah, you know when somebody delays something to early September that they're doing everything possible not to go into the next year. Either because they want to get out before Christmas so they get the Christmas sales, or because they have some contractual obligation to release before the end of the year or something. I always think that's the worst, though, because all your sales are going to come during Black Friday. And if you release mid-December, you're really only getting people to buy Christmas gifts the last 2 weeks before Christmas. So, okay. So before opening Night Live, earlier in the week, I think it was actually the day before, Destiny 2 had a live stream for their next upcoming expansion. So we knew it was called Lightfall, but they put a date on it. It's February 28th, 2023. So that's the last day of February, and I don't think next year is a leap year. And then they're adding a new subclass. So this is only the second time they've added an additional subclass, which is the ability tree, since the original Destiny. There's always been Solar, Void, and Arc. And then they added I forget what it's called, the Ice one that they added in Beyond Light. And now they're adding what's called Strand, which is, it's kind of like magic. It looks like it's a green, like energy, but you're pulling like energy out of a strand dimension, and you can use it like a whip grappling hook, which I thought was pretty cool because that changes the maneuverability of Destiny, having a new movement option. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. They're also doing a bunch to make the game more accessible to newcomers, which obviously is a free to play game with paid expansions, getting people into the game and getting them like hooked on it to where they want to spend money is a big thing. So they're adding something called Guardian Ranks, which is basically like a commendation system to let you know how experienced someone is as a Destiny player. You'll be able to look at their Guardian rank and see how prolific and experienced they are in Destiny and what they've played a lot of, that you'll know when you're partnering up with them, whether they're a good person to teach you about the game or something like that. They're also adding a Fireteam Finder, which is looking for group, looking for game. Xbox has this built into the system, but PlayStation, I don't think, does, unless they added it on PS5. So now it'll be a lot easier to find strangers to play with. Gus, I just want to say the sun is going down and you have no light in your room except for when your computer lighting just goes just right, and it looks like you're sitting like it's just a black screen on my screen. You're just dark completely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting to that time of the year now where it's not light out past like 8 p.m. anymore.
Yeah. Well, and so in addition to Fireteam Finder and Guardian Ranks, they're also adding like a new player guide to help with new players. And then this one, they're adding loadouts to Destiny for the first time. I would have killed for this in my heyday of Destiny 1, because you can build out like a raid loadout and you just hit one button and you flip all your gear to your raid kit. And then you could have like a multiplayer Crucible loadout for when you play in multiplayer. I always had to go swap everything around manually, but now they'll be just like, you can set up pre-made loadouts. So that's all coming. I believe that's all coming along with the new expansion Lightfall in February. The coolest thing is the story is going to be set around this city on Neptune called Neo Luna. And it's basically like this crazy neon futuristic city. And I guess it was hidden on Neptune, and somehow the veil gets dropped and people realize that there's this like futuristic city. And Gus, since you didn't play the Destiny games, all the planets that you go to
Destiny one.
Okay. So all the planets you go to in Destiny 1 and Destiny 2, everything's like derelict and broken down, right? There's no cities anymore that are not destroyed. So this will be the first time we go to a populated city, because Neo Luna is almost like part of humanity split off after the terraforming of all the planets.
Do we ever get an explanation for why?
Like why what?
Why there's no one ever around?
I mean, it's there in the lore, but
what happened to like the OG humans?
I believe they were consumed by wars and maybe the darkness, but no. I think it was war. But then the Traveler came and purged out most of the darkness and terraformed all the planets. Or maybe the darkness terraformed the planets. I'm not sure. But in any case, some of humanity survived on Neptune in this city called Neo Luna and was able to hide their city, so both enemies and friendlies didn't know they existed. So their technology kept advancing and they kept living in a civilized world. So I'm really curious to see, like, do they populate this whole city with NPCs? Is it going to be like, Destiny isn't really open world. I mean, it is, but the world is kind of linear. It's like got all these like little paths. It's semi-open world, kind of like hub and spoke, but not really. But the visuals looked amazing. The city looked like very interesting compared to all the stuff we've seen in Destiny before. Other hilarious thing, and I tweeted this out, the Destiny Lightfall logo looks very, very similar to the Disney's Lightyear movie poster. I put the two side by side. They both Lightfall and Lightyear have like a spaceship flying through it, creating a line through the word. So they look very similar. It's the joke I put was, can I copy your homework? Yeah, just change it a little bit. Because clearly there either was some inspiration or it's just a good idea to have your spaceship cut through your words. But the fact that nobody caught that when the name of the game has the word light in it, it's like Lightfall, Lightyear. Like, it was, the graphics are similar, the names are similar. Nobody thought maybe you could use for some originality more so. And that's not even the original Lightfall logo. When they first teased it a few years ago, when they announced several years of content, it had a different Lightfall logo. So they changed it to be this one. Anyway, all that to say is this new expansion looks awesome. Neo Luna looks really awesome. The Strand subclass looks really awesome. So I don't have the time to be a Destiny faithful anymore, but I do want to play this at some point just to play the story and explore the city of Neo Luna. So I know that you and Spencer are not going to play Destiny 2 at this point, so I'm not even going to ask you your thoughts. Number three, Flight Simulator 40th anniversary update. So the notes I have here are on the 40th anniversary update, but before I go into that, they did release an update the day of Gamescom, the announcement, for their first ever city update. And I think they upgraded some of the cities in Germany with the latest telemetry and the latest scanning of satellites and stuff. So some of that was like novelty of like part of the area that they were improving included the convention center in Cologne. So, you know, they were saying like you could fly over Cologne in Flight Sim if you couldn't go to Gamescom. It's kind of just like a synergistic marketing tie-in kind of thing. But it was also an upgrade for that whole city. It wasn't just the convention center. But the big thing is, Gus, do you remember when we were talking about the 40th anniversary update? I don't remember if they priced it originally, but it's going to be free. It's coming November.
I don't remember if we thought it was going to be paid or not.
I think we talked about it and we weren't sure. That's what I remember. Well, anyway, I mean, it's going to be free.
Pay for it regardless, but
November 11th, and they're giving the first large scale airliner, an Airbus A310. So and supposedly almost all of the buttons and switches in the entire airliner are going to be functional, which is going to be insane because that cockpit has to be so intensely detailed. And then other things you get in the 40th anniversary update is they're adding helicopters and gliders, which to me sounds awesome because now when you're sightseeing, you won't have to use the like freeze thing to freeze the airplane in mid flight. You can just hover in a helicopter and like sightsee around buildings or, you know, Mount Rushmore or whatever you want to go fly around. They're also adding 4 classic commercial airports. So these are like classic airports that I guess don't exist anymore, or their current revision doesn't exist anymore. They're adding 10 glider airports. So there'll be 10 places you can do gliders from, 12 new aircraft, 14 heliports. So I'm guessing that means you'll only be able to fly helicopters from those 14 locations, and then 20 classic missions from the franchise's past. So they're pulling forward old missions from old flight sim games, and they're going to put them in the new flight sim. This to me sounds really good for a free update.
Until I can fly a Black Hawk as a helicopter, you don't have my attention.
Well, I wonder 12 new aircraft. I wonder how many of those are helicopters. They don't say.
Didn't it?
No, the 4 classic commercial airports.
No. I would imagine there's just like
one or two.
Yeah, I would imagine there probably is only like 4.
Yeah. But then again, maybe it's most of those, but then you got to also account for gliders because
yeah, I like those boring, like 2-seater, like helicopters that are like the little really tiny ones.
I wonder, are gliders like, do those only work from like a high elevation and you just jump off something and glide down? Is that what it's going to be?
I would presume so. Maybe
like base jumping, but with a little airplane.
Yeah. It's like, you can just kind of glide around.
Yeah. Or like, are they going to have you like launch from another airplane or from like a boat? Or I don't know. I know nothing about gliders, so I'll be interested to see how that mechanically works as far as like,
you might just be able to like spawn in like usual, like you normally could from like any certain spot, and then it would like put you at an altitude where you can just glide down.
Maybe, but they say glider airports, and why would they need special glider airports if it wasn't for taking off?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you could land at any airport with a glider. I don't know. Well, that'll be interesting. It'll also be weird to see like how they control, because there obviously won't be any throttle because it's a glider. So, okay. So number 4, well, the numbers don't mean anything this week because Gamescom had so many sub points, but Battlefield 2042 is bringing back the class system. After they keep putting stuff back into Battlefield 2042 that was taken out of it compared to Battlefield 5. So, Gus, you used to be a huge Battlefield fan. Season 2 of Battlefield 2042 is coming in September. They're announcing for Season 3, which we don't know how long Season 2 is going to be.
Is it coming to Game Pass?
I bet it will come to Game Pass before this happens.
Until it comes to Game Pass, I will not be playing this game.
So, Season 2 starts in September sometime. We don't know how long that's going to be, but it's probably going to be 3 to 6 months. So, Season 3 likely will not come until January, February, or March. And Season 3 is when the class system is going to come out. So basically, they're going to replace the specialist system with a class system. And instead of perks being tied to an individual operator, they will have those perks and gadgets work for everyone in that class. And then the classes will be what you're used to: assault, recon, support, and engineer.
Interesting.
It's weird that they're doing this huge about face. Like, they really must be trying to milk this game for a few years if they're going back on all these bad decisions they made, because you'd think they would have walked away at this point and just tried to fix stuff that people are complaining about. But this seems like a big overhaul.
Yeah, I would agree. It seems like they're trying to turn it into a platform game for a little while.
It's also really surprising to me that it hasn't come to EA Play / Game Pass yet, because
yeah, with how badly it tanked.
Yeah, well, and most games come within
really
6 months.
Just be trying to recoup sales by keeping it off Game Pass.
Which
I can't imagine many people are still buying this game.
I mean, I saw it on sale kind of cheap, and I was like, I'll just wait for Game Pass. And maybe there's people like me that feel that way. But they're also selling Battle Passes.
Well, that's
like,
even worse. If it's on sale and they still can't get you to buy it.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty cheap. Also, I don't like disc games, and it was a disc on sale. I've been buying mostly digital in recent years due to the space required for my children in my home. And they would just take the discs and throw them like frisbees anyway, and I'd never see it again. Kids, what are you going to do? You know, this Gamescom I found kind of underwhelming. It's been this way the last few years, but I remember like 8-9 years ago, before the Xbox One generation, there always used to be 2 to 3 big press conferences every year for every publisher. You would have a PlayStation, an Xbox, and a Nintendo press event at Gamescom, E3, and sometimes Tokyo Game Show, depending on who, you know, Nintendo might not go to the Germany one, or Microsoft might not go to Tokyo. But in recent years, nobody goes to Gamescom. Like, there was no PlayStation or Xbox press conference. There hasn't been in many years. Xbox did have a live stream, and they did have a presence on the show floor for people to play games like Grounded and Pentiment and a few others. I think High on Life might have been playable. I'm not sure on that one. But as far as news, nothing here kind of blew me away. Like, of everything we talked about, Gus, everything was either a delay, a release date announcement, or a game back from the dead, like Dead Island 2. The only, like, now I don't have every game listed on our show notes, but Lies of P was a new game we hadn't heard of before. And there were other new games, but nothing of like monumental significance, like a big game, you know, like, you know, I'm trying to think of something like Elder Scrolls 6 wasn't announced. Nothing of that size was shown at this show. It was all just updates on existing games or release date announcements, which is fine. It's just, it's weird how Gamescom has shifted over the last decade and a half. It's much more of a consumer show now than it seems to have been before for like announcing stuff to the press. Okay, but I do have a lot of quick hits this week. I have 5, which is a lot. Usually it's just 1, 2, 3. First one, Pentiment got a release date. So Pentiment, this is the Obsidian game, the small scale. I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a 2D game set in... Do you remember what time period it's set in, Gus? Spencer would know off the tip of his tongue because he's really into this. I'm going to check it out.
Pentiment. I really don't know. I mean, I would assume probably like... It looks almost like a, like the Renaissance era, or like earlier, even earlier, probably like the late Middle Ages.
It's here. I'm on the Xbox Wire article.
It says 16th century Upper Bavaria, so the 1500s.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a, it's like a,
so almost like the Renaissance.
Yeah, but it. So what we didn't know is the release date, November 15th. We also didn't know how much it would cost. So it's going to be $20 if you don't have Game Pass. So I already preloaded it. I'm going to play it on Game Pass. I'm not sure this one will be for me because I'm not as much into history as Spencer is, but it's so unique and weird that I just want to check it out. So maybe I just will try it, and if it hooks me, it hooks me. If it doesn't, it does. Okay, number 2.
Worried I was about to sound stupid there for a second, that saying the Renaissance, because I couldn't remember if it was the 1400s or the 1500s, and it is, in fact, both of those. So,
but, well, is the 1600s? Because that's what you said the game was.
No, the 16th century, which means the 1500s.
Oh, 1500s. Okay, yeah. I misheard you. I thought you said 1600s. Yeah. Okay, number 2 of the quick hits. The Elite Series 2 white controller that we talked about a few weeks ago has been leaked by Amazon, and Amazon accidentally put the
looks listed like a up soccer to- ball.
And
looks like a soccer ball,
an ugly stormtrooper.
Hate the black grips, man. Sorry, I know I said that the white ones make less sense because I'm sure all of the gunk from your hands will show up on the white easier because they're the rubber grips.
I think it's because the rubber turns yellow too fast.
That
just from the oils.
Well,
the,
like I said, yeah, like from sweat and like the gunk from like your hands. Like, I mean, just dead skin cells. I mean, that's why the inner ring of your analog sticks will get like they get the like the dead skin from your thumbs stuck in there. But I mean, yeah, like you said, yeah, it does kind of look like a stupid stormtrooper.
Yeah, the two parts you put your hand on are all black rubber, and then the face of it is white, even white buttons. But the black joysticks. Why are the joysticks not white? Makes no sense. Anyway,
same reason as what I just said. They probably would get yellowish too fast from like the sweat from your thumbs or whatever.
Maybe, but you can go on the build your own design
and
lab.
Just use white anyway.
You can pick white. Yeah, I'm pretty sure white's an option.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the build your own is not quite the same as
a $200 controller or $160 or $70 or whatever it is. It's coming out September 21st. Also, I didn't put this in our show notes because it's not related to Xbox, but PlayStation announced their Elite controller competitor. It's called the PlayStation DualSense Edge. So instead of Pro or Elite, they went with Edge, which is weird because they literally called their PlayStation 4 console upgrade the PlayStation 4 Pro. So why wouldn't you call it the DualSense Pro? You already have used the Pro name before, and it's literally for pros. That's why it has extra buttons and stuff. but instead they decided to call it the Edge. Makes no sense in their naming scheme, but PlayStation's the same company that named their TV service PlayStation View, which I get View TV, but spelled differently, which is kind of corny. I don't know. Their names for stuff is stupid sometimes. Their naming scheme for the three tiers of PlayStation Plus also infuriates me, but so does Xbox's, because Silver, Gold, Ultimate, PC, it's too messy. Just a mess. I don't like it. Anyway, number three, the Knights of the Old Republic remake that was dropped from, what's the name of the studio that was developing it? Why can't I just blanked. Aspyr? Yeah, Aspyr. We now know the studio that's picked it up. It's Saber Interactive, also within the Embracer Group family. So it's basically been restarted. I mean, they'll have picked up some work, but it's definitely going to be 2 or 3 years out. So at least we know it's now in the hands of a slightly more capable studio, but Saber is more of a, I think they're also kind of a port studio, and I don't know if a full-on remake is something good for them. I'm going to their Wikipedia real quick so I can remind myself what games they've remade. Well, that didn't help me at all. Why did this take me to Saber Interactive? Oh, yeah, okay. American video game developer and publisher founded in 2001. So who under Saber is developing it, though? Because Saber owns a bunch of teams. They have a bunch of subsidiaries. Which one is working on it? That's what we don't know. Well, that's not helpful at all. In any case, it's definitely a few years out. Number four, Game Pass. We didn't really have any additions announced for Game Pass, but we did have Grid Legends announced as coming to EA Play on September 1st. But since EA Play is included in Game Pass Ultimate, we know Grid Legends coming to Game Pass Ultimate on September 1st. And finally, number five, some intrepid Microsoft Store watchers noticed the Game Pass Friends and Family logo in the back end of the Microsoft Store. So that does appear to be the official name of the thing we discussed a few weeks ago that they were trialing in a couple countries. Game Pass Friends and Family is going to be the official name of it. No word yet on what the pricing will be officially or if it's coming to the US. Like I said, when we discussed it a few weeks ago, it's being tested in two countries currently. So assumedly they're going to take the learnings from that in how people use it and how people abuse it and roll that into the final product when it comes to the rest of the world, including the USA. I bet we don't see this until like E3 of next year or at least 6 months from now. I bet they'll do quite a bit of testing and stuff before it goes worldwide. Yeah. And that's it this week. I kind of feel like a little lackluster for a Gamescom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so much stuff has been delayed or pushed or like, I mean, and I feel like people are kind of wary of announcing new games right now. Either because they're supporting their current games, like the big developers or whatnot. But I feel like we aren't getting a whole lot of new stuff because people are worried about having to delay. So it's like, why even bother with announcing, which is good. Hold off on announcing.
You'd think that like that. All these delays of big games would be causing like smaller games to get a bunch more attention. But like I'm looking at Game Informer does a great article every year for all the games releasing and all the release dates on one page. Just go to gameinformer.com/2022. And it's literally every release date for the whole year. And I'm looking through September because we're about to start September. There's nothing in September of note. Like even looking at like if you want to stretch, The Last of Us Part 1 is coming to PS5, but that's a remake or an upgrade to a game. Grounded is getting its official 1.0 launch on the 27th, but that is been out in pre-release already for a long time. And then there's a bunch of smaller games. You know, there's Splatoon 3 on Switch, but we don't care about that here. And yeah, it's just Return to Monkey Island got a release date announced, but that's not coming to Xbox initially. It's just sad. I'm kind of looking forward to Gotham Knights in October, but I'm more like crossing my fingers that it doesn't stink. Like I want it to be good because otherwise this year just feels kind of like it's a terrible time to be doing a podcast. I'll tell you that much. Like normally we'd be this time of year, we would have constant announcements and trailers and all kinds of cool stuff to talk about and be playing. And now it feels like we're just constantly talking about rumors and games we're playing off our backlogs, which is its own kind of entertainment and, you know, podcasting, but it's much more fun to speculate about big, cool upcoming releases. And I mean, what do we have? We have Gotham Knights, and then we have Call of Duty, and God, I mean, I'm excited about God of War Ragnarok, but that's on PlayStation 5. Like, assuming most people listening to this are listening to an Xbox podcast because they have an Xbox, and only maybe a half or a third of those people probably also have a PlayStation. So, just kind of a weird, weird time. Also, I did notice over the last week or so, the consoles are starting to get easier to get, Gus. I saw the Xbox Series X available on Best Buy, Walmart, and one other retailer online.
It's about time.
They did not sell out for at least 12 hours, maybe even days.
Just for them to get the production ramping up and then have them all sell out again for Christmas time.
Yeah, it's going to get brutal at Christmas. But I even saw PlayStation 5 in stock online.
I don't think you will be able to buy them around Christmas unless they're holding on to a stockpile and are prepared to release them, which I could see.
Well, they do that. They will hoard a little bit before. Xbox and PlayStation, I know one of them for sure said it, but I think they both have said that you will not be able to get one this holiday season.
No, I believe it.
I mean, some people obviously will, but they're not going to be able to satiate demand for the holidays. Yeah, they've already come out and said that.
Which is wild.
But for those of you listening that might be stuck on a last generation console, Series S, I have seen available on shelves in every store that I go to at least 3/4 of the time. And I have a Series X and a Series S. And if you're a person rocking an Xbox One or a One S,
OG One,
I would say upgrade to the Series S and get a Series X later, because there's so many improvements you get as far as being able to run 1440p, being able to do fast load times, be able to play games that aren't on last gen.
If you're needing an update, just grab that Series S. Like,
yeah, for sure. Especially if it's not going to be able to get a Series X.
It isn't that much of a downgrade from the Series X.
Yeah, I mean, it really isn't. It's 1440p instead of 4K, and it's a smaller hard drive. But I don't notice a difference when I travel or when I play in my other room. I mean, I know there is a difference, and I can see it a little bit in the graphics, the resolution. But if it's the difference between having a next-gen console and not, especially if you're coming from the 2013 Xbox One or Xbox One S, from 2015. Those two, for sure, the Series S is a huge upgrade. The one place where it might not be a clear upgrade is Xbox One X, because technically the One X has a better GPU, but a worse CPU. So there are some games where you might be able to push higher resolutions, but as we get farther and farther into next gen, some games are going to stop coming out for Xbox One X. So you'd be better off to have a Series X in that scenario. Gus, I think this happened last week, because I don't think we talked about it on last week's show. I think it's happened in the last week. Did you see the PlayStation increased prices in every country, basically, except for the USA for the PS5?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't hear this. I thought I mentioned it in our group chat. Yeah, so PlayStation raised the prices in every country but the USA for the most part.
Why?
I mean, even Canada and Mexico. Because
inflation?
Cost of goods have been driven up, inflation, travel, like shipping, like basically inflation and cost of goods sold and everything has all gone up. And the biggest problem is the dollar has been going up in value against foreign currencies. Like it was ahead,
the euro, ahead of the euro is less worth less than the more. Well, oh my gosh,
euro was below the dollar for a little bit, and now they're almost on par again.
Yeah, a decent amount of time. Like it was like a couple cents more.
Yeah, so that because of how these
now
things
like 99 cents to the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, so that was affecting it, and inflation was affecting it. So because of that, that's part of the reason they lowered it everywhere but the USA. The other reason is because they would probably get brutalized by Xbox because the only time PlayStation has lost market share is the PS3 generation, where they were more expensive. And we saw what happened to Xbox One being more expensive in the Xbox One generation. So being the more expensive console is usually not the goal, or does not bode well. Now, the increase is only like $20, $30, $40. I didn't actually do the equivalent like conversion, but they didn't even go up a full $50. Like it's like goes up to like $525, $530, something like that. And then they still have the discless version, which you can get. Used to be $400. Now it's like $425, $430, something like that. So the Series S is $300. So still the cheapest next gen machine. And the Series X is now cheaper than the top end PlayStation 5 in every country but the USA. So all week people were asking Nintendo and Xbox, are you going to raise prices? And they both said at this time, we don't have any plan to. And if I were Xbox, I don't know that I would either, because
leave it. That makes them look better.
Yeah, especially if you're going to have more inventory at the holidays. In the cash.
They're still raking it in. Like, why even bother?
I will say the PlayStation 5 is outselling the Series X, I think, 2-1. So, or maybe that was last generation. There was something in the news about that. But
I would say I don't recall anything hearing about the PS5 doing that to the Series X.
I think that must have been the PlayStation 4 outsold the Xbox 2-1.
That sounds about right.
Because I think it's 120 million PS4s and roughly 50 million Xbox Ones is where people were at. But I think PlayStation 5 is definitely outsold. And you know what? Maybe I'm talking myself in a circle because I'm getting the numbers confused in my head, because we've been inventory constrained for the entire current generation.
Just been sold out. Like, I mean, it's like it's a matter of who can produce more at any given time.
Yeah,
so it's really hard to say. I mean, they're both selling equally well, I think, in my opinion.
It's a shame that we'll never know what the true demand was. Like, if there was infinite demand and it could be satiated, who would have actually sold more? If they could both manufacture infinite quantity, who would have sold more just based on games and marketing? And
I mean, you would argue that Xbox One's probably selling more simply because more people bought PS4s. And so more people need to upgrade their Xbox because they didn't buy like a Series X an Xbox One X. Versus a PS4 Pro. Cause I feel like a lot of people were just rocking the regular PS4 for the whole time.
Yeah. I think the reporting, this is,
Although, that doesn't make any sense what I said then. I really don't know. Who knows? Not me. I don't know anything about the whole current. I mean, I have my Series X. I got it day one. That's all I care about.
It's crazy that the three of us were able to get one, because looking back, it's like
sure if I was going to be able to get one on release, because Best Buy was not cooperating. And so I had to do it through Amazon. I really wanted to give Best Buy my money. You guys know I'm a diehard Best Buy guy, but they couldn't get their crap together on release day. So I had to go through Amazon because I didn't want to risk it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a Best Buy guy too. I went and bought this new LG OLED at Best Buy.
Yeah, so old Jeffrey got my money on this one. Although technically not really, but yes, he did.
It took me 6 months to get a PlayStation 5. So I mean, I've said that many times on the show. It's funny now when I see a console on stock, my instinct is to buy it, because I have that muscle memory from when. For 6 months, I was just waiting to see a console on a shelf because I knew I needed a PlayStation 5 or wanted one. And I had friends that needed a Series X. So if I saw any console anywhere, I was just going to buy it and that person would pay me back. But I never ended up buying one that way, because everybody I know ended up getting one eventually. It just, some people, it took up to a year. I have one friend that did get a Series S because he couldn't get a Series X, and because they were always out of stock. And I think he still has a 1080p TV. So I was like, yeah, man, like, what? Why not? Like, I said it when I got it. I've been overly impressed with my Series S. If you're not an absolute graphic snob as far as resolution, you'll probably have no discernible difference. I know there is a difference. There really is. And you can see it. Like, some things are scaled back. Like, some games, the frame rate is 30 instead of 60, although that's not as common as the resolution being 1440 or 1080p. And sometimes, like, the draw distance or something will be drawn in a little bit. But if you're not, like, obsessively looking for that stuff and you're just there to enjoy your games, the Series X is a great way to get into the next generation at a low price point. And, I forgot to say one other thing about upgrading my TV. So going from a 55 to a 65, I had my Series X standing upright next to the TV. Well, now the TV's wider, so I needed the full TV stand for the TV. So begrudgingly, I had to put my Series X on its side on the, you know, it has two, you can upright or sideways. It's sitting on the little side feet, but it feels wrong because sitting on its side, it just looks like a black brick because I can't see the green on the top, which gives it like a little pop of color. And the left side has that weird round stand on it because it's meant to be stood up. So that's visible. And it just feels like, it doesn't feel like it was intended to sit on its side. I know it was. That's an option. That's why it has the rubber feet on the side. But it just doesn't look as cool as when it's standing upright with the little green showing on top. And you know that because the Xbox logo is on its side when you lay it on the side, because the logo was oriented for the default position, which is standing up. So makes me sad, but I don't have anywhere I can stand up either of my consoles because the PlayStation 5 is 19 feet tall. So what entertainment center has a slot big enough? If you can't put it on top, you're not going to put it anywhere. I thought about putting it behind the TV, but then I wouldn't be able to use the infrared remote to change channels or control Netflix and stuff because the infrared would be behind the TV. So, well, Gus, it is completely dark now because the sun has gone down and you are sitting in a room with no source of light except for the dim glow of your screen when you lean in close.
Well, it's worse now because now the Zencaster has like a dark theme to it. My background isn't white when I'm on the Zencaster screen, so it doesn't like illuminate my face as well. So now I really truly am just a talking head with white earbuds in.
Oh yeah, I didn't think of that. So we use a platform called Zencaster for low latency video chatting for podcasting. It's a lot easier than using like Discord or Skype or something like that, so you can see each other while you're recording. It's great, but they launched a new version, which it's a dark theme, which I do like dark theme stuff because the white was kind of blinding, but it really like all the new features aren't part of this product. Like this looks the same except for its dark theme, but they added a bunch of other stuff to like edit your podcast or publish your podcast in Zencaster. And I don't need any of that. I do all the editing on my own computer and I publish through our hosting service. So I don't need Zencaster to try and milk me for money, but I do appreciate Zencaster. Their low latency product for recording is great. And for video and stuff all to be kind of integrated into a platform. Otherwise we'd be using something kind of hacked together between multiple platforms like Discord or Skype, or I forget, we tried it. Didn't we use something else way back the first time we recorded remotely? I don't remember.
You might have. In my recollection, it's always been Zencaster.
I'm remembering? I think it's when Spencer and I did some of the interviews. We did them over Skype. So we did Skype with like a local recording.
First started, we used Zencaster for the audio, and then we would use like the Google Meet for a long time to get some video just so we could see each other. Like,
yeah, you're right. Zencaster used to only support audio. So we used Google Meet, or at the time, I think it was called GChat, or was it Hangouts? No, it was Meet. You're right. It was Meet. So we could use that with video, but then you had to have two windows open and you had to have one of them muted, and it was a whole mess. Nobody cares about this. It's podcasting behind the curtain look, but, yeah. Well, I hope that we get some patches on Saints Row. I'm eager to follow that story. And I wish Spencer was on this episode because I want to hear what he thought of Pentiment with the game and the Gamescom coverage. I think he's the most likely to enjoy that game, although I am going to check it out. So, and then it sounds like High on Life is going to hit with Gus and Gotham Knights probably for me. And that's it. Well, I got some more Fallout 4 calling my name. I'm eager to play some more on my new TV. That's it. Gus, final thoughts?
No. I mean, I don't know. The weeks are starting to blend together between like delays and not having anything new to play. It's just kind of just doing our own thing right now.
I know. It's so weird. I forget if I've said this on the show or off the show, but I remember when I was younger, I used to make a map of the games releasing between September and December, and I would have to look at everything coming out in that period, and I would have 10 or 20 games that I wanted to buy. And I was younger, so I didn't have unlimited budget, so I'd have to pick the one or two that I would buy myself, and then I would take a couple, and I would put them on my birthday list, and I would take a couple, and I would put them on my Christmas list. And generally, I wouldn't get a lot of gifts that were video games, because nobody extended family wasn't going to buy me a $60 present, but parents would maybe get me one or something. Again, I was younger, high school, college, but those days are long gone. Now, like, I have literal gift card money stuffed in my Xbox account right now, ready to buy games. And there's no games that I really feel like playing more than Fallout 4 that I'm currently playing. But there's also, don't let us, lest we not forget, Deathloop should be coming to Game Pass soon. And we're still waiting on The Witcher 3 to get a next-gen upgrade, which I'm going to go back and revisit The Witcher 3 at that point. So that's some stuff to play this fall that isn't really new games, but it is, you know, something to do. So, okay, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton.
And I'm Gus Harden.
See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.